Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the new and improved convenience gadget that you've just got to have of free speech. At least it's new and improved, and well, it is new and improved. Actually, we've got a new schedule coming up. My show is going to be moved from 1 p.m. Central to noon Central. That's right, your lunch hour, because it's just that awesome. But for me, it's a great convenience, a free speech convenience. It really is, and I'll tell you why. So I do all sorts of things. You'd be surprised how much I do. For instance, I've got my book, which I'm always on the verge of finishing, and then stuff happens, and then events happen, and I have written so many forewords and so many conclusions to this book. But at any rate, I was talking to, or not even talking, just messaging with Dave Gahari, who's my publisher, and I said, I just want to stick a fork in it. And he says, okay, well, you can send it back, just see if the corrections that we went over last time are at least if they're edited in, and we'll just stick a fork in it. And really, it probably might only take a day of work or something, but who has a day of work? But what I can do with RBN is, on a daily basis, I can walk my dog or drive my car or whatever, and I can talk to you guys, and RBN makes it happen. I have other things I do, but it's not as convenient. This is convenient. So, I mean, even Dr. Duke's show is, I can't do it live anymore. Maybe I'll be able to do it live again at some point, but I told him I can't do it live anymore. So he called me up this morning before business hours, and we recorded something. I might have sounded a little bit sleepy, but I think actually it was really good. In fact, I was considering taking parts of that and just sticking it into today's program, but I probably won't. But it was pretty good. So, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. You can send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Okay, so what to talk about? As you know, or as you can probably guess, these shows are rather unscripted. I try to avoid letting them become just, stream of consciousness rants. Anyway, if you've been paying attention to news, whether it's, what's the name of Jim Fetzer's show? Authentic. Whether it's authentic news or whether it's fake news, even the fake news, a lot of things are starting to filter through. It's pretty clear that that Ukraine is getting close to surrender. So when what you've been hearing, what in The Economist, maybe The Independent, some American outlets, what you've been hearing is people talking about the situation is a stalemate. The situation's a stalemate, and it's time for the Ukrainians to negotiate. And of course, we have to translate it. It means the situation has become hopeless. Ukraine is defeated, and it's time for it to surrender. This is what it really means. Now, people, normies, and people, even people who watch the news, people who are newscasters themselves, may take this literally, say, oh, it's a stalemate and they're going to negotiate. But the thing is, it's not a stalemate. And I can't tell you how many times, I don't watch American mainstream TV, but just monitoring other countries, how many times I see maps from the Institute for the Study of War, right? The Institute for the Study of War. as if it's some sort of scholarly independent think tank, right? And then they publish a map, and it shows, you know, the front lines aren't moving very much. So it's a stalemate. It's a stalemate, guys. By the way, the Institute for the Study of War, who runs that? Oh, it's Victoria Nuland's sister-in-law. How convenient. Very, very unbiased source of news that would be, or information. And the thing is, it's not about the map. In a war of attrition, it's not about the map. The point has been made increasingly by lots of people. I mean, I know Viktor Orban's made the point. I think others in Europe have made the point that Ukraine, even if NATO continues to send Ukraine weaponry, there's no people, there are no men left to use the weapons, right? And of course, I'm not the only person, but I know I've been saying it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back, hopefully within the next week or so. I'm going to start going back to the shows that I recorded the very first days of this. Stormfront. I don't know if I still have the Stormfront, but the day after the Russian invasion started, we had Mark Dankoff on Stormfront with Don Black and Jay from, what did we call him? Jay from New Jersey, but we had Jay on, Jay Hess, and you know, we were talking about this the very first day, and I guarantee you, you go back to the things that I was talking about the first week that this started, and it's the same things I'm saying now. Now, I never really predicted when things were going to happen. All I said was, inevitably, Russia will meet its military objectives. Now, of course, the military objectives have been a moving target. And this is a point I've been making regularly, that military and political objectives, they're going to meet these objectives. And had there had been negotiations before the invasion, Russia's objectives would have been it would have been recognition of Russian sovereignty over Crimea. It would have been recognition of the cultural rights of the people in Donbass, who could then be reincorporated into Ukraine. And it would have been constitutional guarantees of neutrality for Ukraine. And if the negotiations had happened shortly after the invasion, well, it would have not just been cultural rights for the Donbass, but it would have been a recognition of the independence of the two Donbass republics. And had it happened a few months later, if it had happened later in the year, it would have included not just the two Donbass republics, but also two more provinces, Zaporozhye and Kherson, and it would have been a recognition of Russian sovereignty over them. But it keeps going on and on and on. And now we're at a point where there's no way that Russia is going to end this affair, leaving large Russian populations in the rump Ukraine. So it's not going to leave Kharkov in Ukraine. It's not going to leave Odessa in Ukraine, or Nikolaev, Petrodonetsk, or whatever it's called. I can't remember that province. So you got at least those four more provinces. I've been talking about that for a while. But, you know, it's getting to the point where now Kiev is even going to, I mean, will Kiev be part of a rump Ukraine, or will the rump Ukraine just be a few provinces around Lvov? And will that even be able to maintain its independence from Poland? Who knows? I can't imagine Russia allowing Poland to expand its borders as a result of this. But at the same time, Russia definitely does not covet Lvov, because it's full of people who have less connection to Russia. But most of Ukraine has a very, very strong connection to Russia, whether they like it or not. And by and large, this is something that Ukrainians accept. But at any rate, I've been saying this for a while. The longer it goes on, Russia's military and political objectives are a moving target. Once the longer it goes on, the greater those objectives become. But, you know, there was never a point where there should have been any doubt that Russia was not going to achieve its objectives. And I was saying that all along. And, you know, if I had time, because it's not convenient for me to go back and listen to archives and find good parts. It's just not convenient for me. This is one of the reasons why I want to write books, because writing books, you can just do a search function. It's so much easier to find where you wrote something than when you said something. But anyway, it is what it is. And now I'm saying the same thing regarding Gaza and Israel. This too is a moving target. And am I saying that there's no way that Hamas is not going to meet its military and political objectives? Or I'm not exactly saying that. What I am saying is there is no way that Israel is going to meet its objectives. What's more, the longer this goes on, the worse it's going to be for Israel. If Israel, I guess, see, the thing about Israel is, you know, it does have a lot of military power. A fair amount of military power has been built up. It's been allowed to steal. It's been given. I mean, I guess one of the most bizarre things is Germany giving Israel nuclear-capable submarines capable of launching nuclear missiles. When Germany itself, I mean, the Germans themselves know that they're a target. The Samson option had long been on the table. These Dolphin-class submarines were transferred during the Merkel years. It was Merkel, Mama Merkel. I think even there might have been some, maybe the first shipment was under the other guy. What was his name before Merkel and after Helmut Kohl and before Merkel? Oh, there was some other guy. I'll remember his name in a second. Oh, Gerhard Schroeder. What was I talking about? Yeah, I mean, they transferred this weaponry to Israel. Israel has plenty of weapons, but, you know, and also it had what was for a while the world's only superpower at its back. So, you know, and it had the world's only superpower not just at its back, but wrapped around its finger. And so I guess it gave the Israelis this sense of invincibility, that they could do anything, that they were above international law, above reproach. But they weren't seeing things clearly. They've always had vulnerabilities, and the Jews have always had vulnerabilities, and I've talked about this. I mean, in terms of Israel, its vulnerabilities partly, well, it's geographically very small. Also, its population's not particularly large. But the other thing that I guess they have been slow to comprehend is that the United States just isn't the world's only superpower anymore. And this has become crystal clear over the past year and 9 months since the start of the war in Ukraine. It's become exceedingly clear. And it's something that they should have recognized. There was a time, I mean, they've had ample opportunities over the years to negotiate some sort of settlement where, I mean, where they would have to make some sort of concessions from whatever the status quo was when they were negotiating. So, for instance, well, there was, you know, at Camp David, when I say Camp David, Jimmy Carter's year, like 1978, he negotiated a peace deal between Egypt and Israel. Now, somewhat prior to that, a few years prior to that, there was a possibility of doing a broader peace deal that would have included the Palestinians. It would have also included Jordan and Syria. They could have done something like that in the 70s. And when you look how things worked out with Egypt, where Egypt became a friendly country, relatively friendly country to Israel, for 45 years now. That worked pretty well. They could have had something. They would have remained a small country. They wouldn't have been able to, to get Egypt back. To get Egypt, a peace deal with Egypt, they had to give back the Sinai. To get a peace deal with Syria, they would have had to give back the Golan Heights. And to get a peace with the Palestinians, they would have had to give up the West Bank. They could have done that and held on to their pre-67 lands and had peace deals. They could have done this. This was all possible 50 years ago. 50 years ago, it was all possible. Then, if you moved on to the wake of the Gulf War, when George H.W. Bush was president, he tried to use his glorious victory against the Iraqi forces in 1991. He tried to use that as a launching pad for some sort of peace deal in the Middle East. Well, then he was a big jerk, okay, but he was undermined by Jews in the United States, and he went from, that's like an 89% approval rating in early 1991 after the Gulf War ended, like March, April 91, to losing an election, getting less than 40% in his re-election bid. He only got like 30-something percent of the vote when he was trying to be re-elected in November 92. And part of that was because it was a three-person race with Ross Perot, but still, he lost very, very badly to Clinton. But had Israel made it a broader deal then, they were making deals. They've made deals along the way, but the thing is, they were never deals in good faith. They were okay. Well, yeah, we'll promise them some sort of a state. If they want to call it a state, they can call it a state. If they want to call it chicken soup, they can call it chicken soup. It was never in good faith. And, you know, when you'd look at the, you'd hear people like Clinton.
So excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
They can call it a steak. If they want to call it chicken soup, they can call it chicken soup. It was never in good faith. And, you know, when you'd look at the... You'd hear people like Clinton or other people say, Yasser Arafat, he was offered, you know, 95% of what he wanted and he walked away from it. But when you always look, when you look at the details, it wasn't genuine sovereignty. It was always, no matter what, they were going to be completely constrained by Israel. It wasn't going to be any kind of genuine independence, any kind of genuine sovereignty. There was always going to be some sort of latent Israeli control and limits on their freedom of action, impingements on their territories. And then if you look at the maps, when they say, oh, like 90-something percent of what they wanted, well, okay, a prisoner in a jail cell might control 95% of the jail cell. But you know what he doesn't control? Doesn't control the door. Doesn't control the walls. Doesn't control the bars on the windows, right? That's what he doesn't control. And these were the bad faith offers that were made by the Israelis. So they could have settled this. They could have settled it long, long ago. But you know, after the Gulf War, which the Gulf War kind of, that was actually the death knoll for the Soviet Union. The Gulf War was in the early months, late January to early March of 91. And then Gorbachev's putsch against Gorbachev, where he was effectively removed from power, was in August. He still lingered as president, but in the shadows of Boris Yeltsin as president of Russia. So Gorbachev was president of an increasingly irrelevant Soviet Union government, and Yeltsin, by December, declared the Soviet Union null and void. That all happened in 1991 and left the United States as the world's only superpower. Russia had effectively defeated itself. It had effectively defeated itself by dismembering the Soviet Union and embarking on insane privatization scheme, which gave Jewish oligarchs control of the economy, and they just looted it. They absolutely looted it. Anywho, so you had the United States as the world's only superpower, and what did Israel do during this time? Some people might say that Yitzhak Rabin, who was assassinated, I think in 94, was it 90? No, maybe it was 95. It was around then, and that he might have been willing to actually have some sort of settlement with the Palestinians. I frankly doubt it, but he was assassinated for his willingness to at least pretend to negotiate. Maybe he was sincere. You never know. Sometimes people, because Yitzhak Rabin had a very, very checkered past, but sometimes it is people with a checkered past who are the people in a position to actually make a deal. So I'm not going to say anything for sure. I have my doubts, but I'm not going to say anything for sure. But at any rate, what you always had were the forces in Israel who wanted more. They were never satisfied. They were never willing to cash in their chips. They've always been going double or nothing. I talk about this. You got different factions of Jews. I say you got factions of Jews who want to cash in their chips and come back tomorrow, and the others who want to go double or nothing. They want to stay and do double or nothing. Come on, we're not doing that. They always wanted more. They kept sending more settlers into the West Bank, trying to make it impossible for the West Bank to ever be separable from Israel. By the way, back in 30 years ago or so, 30 years ago, you had, there's a professor from University of Pennsylvania. He wrote a book. His name was Ian Lustig. And I read the book. I was in grad school. I forgot the name of the title of the book, but it was a comparative case study. And he was looking at England's relationship with Ireland, because, or when I say England, maybe I should say the United Kingdom. Okay, United Kingdom's relationship with Ireland. Ireland had been part of the United Kingdom up until, the wake of World War I. It had been part of the United Kingdom. And then the bulk of Ireland had an independence movement.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Xtendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit Xtendivite.com. That's Xtendivite.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Up until, you know, the wake of World War I. It had been part of the United Kingdom. And then the bulk of Ireland had an independence movement, and you wound up getting a division of Ireland between North and South with, I guess, the southern 26 counties. Are there 32 counties in Ireland? I think that's what it is. Like the southern 26 counties becoming an independent republic, and the northern six counties, which make up Ulster, or at least the bulk of Ulster, remaining part of the United Kingdom. So he looked at that as one case where England or the United Kingdom could not... It had internalized... at least part of Ireland as its part and parcel of the United Kingdom. It couldn't imagine itself without it, something like that. And then he looked at France and Algeria, and at the end of the day, there are a lot of people in France who looked at Algeria as part of metropolitan France, but at the end of the day, people like Charles de Gaulle were willing to give it up. They were willing to see a France that didn't include Algeria. Algeria, and of course, you know, Algeria is full of Algerians, people who are a lot more different from the French than the Irish are from the English, and especially a lot more different from the French than the Northern Ireland Ireland people are from the English. He looked at that, and then the third case study, and this is the one that was really the focus, was Israel in the West Bank. And could Israel conceive of itself without the West Bank? Had the West Bank been become part, like an integral part of Israelis' conception of their own country? So he did this case study, and he was somebody who was, you know, I read this book 30 years ago, but in the big scope of things, in the continuum of Jewish thought on Israel, he was somebody, I guess, who you would call on relatively the dove side. He's still a Zionist in his way, I guess. It's a long time ago. But at any rate, I guess you have had Israelis who can imagine themselves without the West Bank, and those who cannot imagine themselves without the West Bank. And I guess, you know, within the West Bank, you've got a lot of lands that, you know, are in stories from both the Old and New Testament. Not that the Jews care about the New Testament, but certainly they care about the Old Testament. So, you know, Jerusalem, of course, it was divided. And until 1967, half of Jerusalem, the old part, the ancient part of Jerusalem, was not in Israel. It was in a country called Transjordan and then Jordan. And that is considered Palestine today. I mean, it was part of Jordan, but it was that was even kind of a temporary. I'm not going to go into the details of Transjordan and Jordan and Palestine and this and that. But at any rate, the people, the forces in Israel that could not conceive of Israel without the West Bank, they wanted to impose that way of thinking on the rest of Israelis. And by moving Jewish populations into the West Bank, getting it so that everybody has a brother-in-law or a cousin in the West Bank, it makes it difficult. It makes it that much more difficult to conceive of Israel without the West Bank. And part of his study, it was what kind of crisis would be provoked by losing this territory. Now, he wrote the book. It must have been, it was before the complete breakup of Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia, I guess, was about to break up. Did he write the book? I read it after the Soviet Union broke up. I'm not sure if he wrote it before or after. I should check my bookshelf when I go home. But, you know, when the Soviet Union was in its final days and Gorbachev was trying to write a new union treaty, Ukraine was a holdout. The Ukrainian Republican government was a holdout. And, you know, could a reconstituted or a reaffirmed union, it could have survived without the three Baltic states. And, you know, it could have survived without, like, if it had lost the three Baltic states, if it had lost Georgia, that would be one thing. But for the Soviet Union to lose Ukraine, that would be like some sort of existential crisis for it. And indeed it was. Indeed it was. So, anyway, what you've got now is, the longer this goes on, this is a point I made on Dr. Duke's show this morning, the longer this goes on, the worse it is for Israel. Because while there was lots and lots of people, maybe not so much amongst the public in non-Western countries, but certainly amongst their leadership, lots of people who were willing to condemn Hamas on October 7th and voice some sort of understanding of Israel's position on October 7th. The longer this goes on, the more any kind of sympathy or understanding for Israel regarding October 7th gets drowned out, gets overwhelmed by outrage at Israel for what Israel has been doing since October 8th, right? With the blockade of Gaza, with the bombing, the siege, with all of this humanitarian crisis. This humanitarian crisis is dwarfing the whatever outrage, whatever pain and suffering had been caused by the initial Hamas attack. And so the longer this goes on, the more the balance of misery or the balance of outrage favors Hamas and doesn't favor Israel. And another point I've been making is that if you had had some sort of settlement in a good faith settlement in the 1990s, in the aughts, Israel might have been able to give up only some of the settlements, but keep the bigger ones, and then maybe exchange some land in the Negev Desert for, have some sort of land swap, which would have been a bum deal for the Palestinians, but it's something that they might have accepted if it was in good faith. But it was never in good faith. And the land swap that was, at least the trial balloon of a land swap that was floated, wasn't even a one-to-one land swap. It was, we get some of your best land. We're going to take a few hundred square miles of your best land. And in exchange, if we're taking 400 square miles of your best land, we'll give you 200 square miles of our worst land. Oh, that's the best deal you're going to get, Goy. It's not going to get any better than that. I think you ought to take it. It was never good faith. Well, now the situation's changed because Israel's big brother, Israel's enabler, has lost badly in Ukraine. It's lost badly. It's obvious it's lost badly. It's lost badly because it is no longer the world's largest economy. It is far from being the world's industrial power. The world's industrial power is clearly China. Is the United States even the most, is it the most high-tech military power? It's been resting on the laurels of the Manhattan Project from the 1940s with its nuclear weapons, but in a world where have nuclear weapons been useful for anything but some sort of deterrence? Have they ever been useful for anything besides deterrence since 1945? And Russia's got as many nuclear weapons as the United States. China can build as many as they want. So what does the United States have? Does it have the highest tech? Does it have these hypersonic weapons? No, actually, it's behind. It's behind in a lot of areas. It's behind in a lot of tech areas. And it's also behind in the fact that it's military. To the extent we have a military, we're not able to... I say we, but we're not able to meet our recruitment targets. We're recruiting fat people. Well, we have fat people. We have obesity epidemic in the military. The military is just not serious anymore. The economy's not serious. Our leadership's not serious. And Israel has lost its opportunity to make a good faith deal. Now, Israel can go in and it can kill lots of people in Gaza, which is totally counterproductive. This is going to end, I think, pretty sure. I'm not as sure as I was with the Russia stuff, but I'm pretty sure that this is going to end with an international conference that's going to be dominated by China and Russia, and it's going to impose a settlement. And the longer this goes on, the greater the logic becomes well, Israel, you destroyed the homes of, you know, 1.however many million people in Gaza. And you've got, you know, 700,000 illegal settlers in the West Bank. Those settlers, you've got to pull those settlers out. You don't get to keep any of that. You don't get a land swap. They were illegal in the first place. You've destroyed all the homes of all these people. You've got to pull out. And I think at a minimum, they're going to lose that. There are other people who are talking about Israel ceasing to exist as a state. I would like to ask Ian Lustig. Name is spelled like Ian, but I believe he's been ionized. I'd like to ask, I don't know if he's still alive, but I'd like to ask Ian Lustig what he thinks about this. Also, by the way, did any of you hear the debate, the Republican debate last night? Oh my goodness. It was disgraceful. They sounded just like a bunch of whores. Mr. T, what's that sound? Are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Jews didn't do it. Jews didn't do it. Jews didn't do it. Jews didn't do it. Cash keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into my pocket. Cash keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into my pocket. I want to shill like a faggot for the Jews. Shill like a faggot. I get hot takes from Fox News. I want to shill like a faggot. Name Ted Cruz. Oh Lord, it's like prostitution. Bomb Dawson's. Don't let them drink or eat. Bomb the children. Blow the shoes off their feet. Bomb their houses. See them living in the street. Now that's a final solution. I want to chill like a faggot for the Jews. Chill like a faggot from Fox News. I get my cues. I want to chill like a faggot. Name it Cruz. How I love prostitution. Cash keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into my pocket. Cash keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into my pocket. Cash keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into my pocket. Cash keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into my pocket. Jews didn't do it. 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 I want to shill like a faggot for the Jews. Shill like a faggot. I get hot takes from Fox News. I want to shill like a faggot. Name Ted Cruz. How I love prostitution. Jews didn't do it. Jews didn't do it. Jews didn't do it. Jews didn't do it. Cash keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into my pocket. Cash keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into my pocket. I want to shill like a faggot for the Jews. Shill like a faggot. I get hot takes from Fox News. I want to shill like a faggot named Ted Cruz. How I love prostitution.
Okay. Well, I think Engelbert Poindexter is struck again. Also, I think maybe he needs to do something to the vocals tracks, add a little harmony. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Anyway, we are coming up on the break. So, with this boomer music, we'll be right back.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Well, I need to fill up these last few minutes and get on my way. I'm going to read a bit of an article. This is from the Daily Stormer. Elvis Dunderhoff. He writes, "The ruins of Ukraine to become an EU member state very soon." And starts with a tweet with Volodymyr Zelensky welcoming today's recommendation by the European Commission to open EU accession negotiations with Ukraine. Right. And then he quotes The Guardian. The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen otherwise known as Ursula Dandelion, announced today that the Commission recommends that the Council, these are European EU institutions, the Commission recommends that the Council open accession negotiations with Ukraine and Moldova. Moldova is a Romanian-speaking former Soviet republic. They say Moldovan. Moldovan is just a Romanian with a country accent or something. The Commission also recommends the opening of EU accession negotiations with Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is one is Bosnia. Everybody knows it is Bosnia. It's part of the former Yugoslavia that's right now divided into two republics within Bosnia. One is Serbian, and the other is not is Croatian and Muslim. Okay. These negotiations are to begin once the necessary degree of compliance with membership criteria is achieved, she said. And the Commission recommends that the Council grant Georgia, another former Soviet state, the status of a candidate country on the understanding that certain reforms are made. Dandelion, von der Leyen, said that Ukraine has completed well over 90% of the necessary steps outlined by the Commission last year, pointing to judicial reforms and anti-corruption efforts. All right, and now this is Elvis writing. He says, "Welp, there's your vaginal government. The Ukraine fixed its corruption problem completely already. There's just 10% of a problem with them joining. Because they are in a massive war, no one knows where their new borders will be, and there is martial law, and nobody is allowed to leave the country anyway. Also, they have forced conscription, torture, they target civilians, and they are the most corrupt country in Europe. But aside from that, it's practically done. The Ukraine is 90% of the way to achieving a utopia. Whose idea was it to put women in charge of everything?" Well, I mean, there is a woman thing. You look at the woman thing, but there's also just a thing going on. It's mostly a Jewish thing. Anyway, if Jews don't want to be masturbated to death in a cage with a bear and an eagle in it, they ought to stop screwing with the goyim. Anyway, one of the interesting things about this, so they're pushing for all these former Soviet states, and in one case, former Yugoslavian state, to join the EU. Well, Turkey is trying to join the EU for like 50 years. And they keep getting passed up. And Turkey's an EU member state. It's got a NATO member state. It's got the biggest military in NATO outside United States. And it's may well be pushed into joining the war against Israel, because what the heck? What do they have to gain from remaining allied to the United States? I'll be back again tomorrow. No, next week, with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
I'm a fag who wants blacks to live amongst us. And I have equal rights. I have no love of country. White folks are all bad. But when the Albright folks attack me, it makes me sad.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle